Hey, it's Brian. When you are looking for a sports management master's program, most of you tell me you want flexibility and credibility. Makes sense. I mean, you want your efforts to be worth it. Well, with Georgetown's part-time master's in sports industry management, you get the best of both worlds. The program is ideal for working professionals, offering flexible options to take classes online, on campus, or through a combination of both, so you don't have to interrupt your career to earn your degree. Plus, it's Georgetown, one of the best schools in the nation. I just looked this up 5 minutes ago, literally 5 minutes ago, and they are ranked in the top 25 of national universities on U.S. News and World Report. So you can get your master's from a top university in a manner that fits your schedule. Win-win. I just told you a lot, but to learn more, they are hosting a webinar Tuesday, October 29th at noon Eastern Time. Learn more, ask questions, figure out your life plan. Okay, that's a lot. But how about you just start out by RSVPing? Visit scs.georgetown.edu/sportswebinar to RSVP. One more time, scs.georgetown.edu/sportswebinar. And the Work in Sports podcast is brought to you by the Work in Sports Academy. If you're looking to get ahead in the sports world, you need an advantage over the competition. Yes, your degree, your clubs, your sparkling personality all help. But we're going to go a lot deeper than that. Check out the Work in Sports Academy, 4 online courses designed to increase your chances of being hired in the sports industry. All of my best advice, culled from not only my 20 years of experience, but from the hundreds of people I've interviewed over my career. Check it out today, workinsports.com/academy. All right, let's start the countdown.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition.
Hi, everybody. I'm Brian Clapp, VP of Content and Engaged Learning at WorkInSports.com, and this is the Work in Sports podcast. As I search for guests to pique your interest, I'm always looking for fields I haven't covered. Yes, there are more perspectives to learn and share on sales, marketing, and operations, and we will continue to do so, but there are also many fields out there that deserve attention and discussion that we haven't ventured into yet. Over the last couple of months, I've been meeting with college professors all over the nation, discussing our sports career game plan online materials, our Work in Sports Academy. And one thing became abundantly clear to me that I didn't realize before. There are a ton of people in kinesiology programs that are related to sports. A fancy word, kinesiology, fancy word for the study of how the body moves. Athletic trainers, physical therapists, sports scientists, medical doctors, a lot of them start with kinesiology. Now, I hate to sound naive, this is just me being transparent, but when I think sports and I think of what I've done in my career, and when I think of what, you know, the most opportunities are out there, I always think of the business side of sports because, again, that's my personal background. But there is a gigantic swath of the sports industry that is less connected to the dollar signs behind the marquee events and more connected to the athlete performance and recovery side. Sports are very connected to STEM, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. Kinesiology is a perfect example of this, sports through the lens of science. But in this section of the sports industry, women are poorly represented. Women constitute about half of the college-educated workforce in the United States. Makes sense, right? But just a quarter of STEM professionals are female. This STEM gender gap has impacted perceptions of women in STEM and trickles down to younger generations. The U.S. Soccer Federation is looking to help change those results by joining forces with If Then, a leading group supporting women in STEM. I bring guests on the show to act as a blueprint for all of you. I literally do. I schedule guests and bring them on so they can share their journey and you look at that and say, I can do that, right? It's a map of sorts. It's presenting you options, introducing you to potential paths, guiding you through the journey and showing you what is possible. Today's guest is the perfect role model for all of our listeners attracted to the potential of STEM careers in sports. Dr. Leah Thoman, Senior Manager of Sports Medicine for the U.S. Soccer Federation, the official governing body for soccer in the U.S. Here's Dr. Thoman. Hi, Leah. How are you today?
Hi, Brian. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Thanks for joining me. This is really cool to have this conversation with you because this will be the first time that I've had a guest that's deep into the athletic training and physical therapy side of the industry. And it's a really big part of the industry. So thanks for jumping on.
Happy to be here and speak with you today. Thanks for the opportunity.
So I want to dig deep into the high performance support team within the U.S. Soccer Federation and your background in sports medicine and training and all your history. But before we get into that, I want to go big picture a little bit. Over the years of this podcast, I've really tried to interview many female executives in the sports industry, hoping that it almost acts like a bullhorn. Like it just screams out to all the people in the audience saying, you can do this too. You know, it's a role model. It's a blueprint. Specific to your world in sports medicine and athletic training, and even broader in the whole concept of STEM, of science, technology, engineering, mathematics, what's the message you want to send to the young women who will be listening to this podcast episode?
Well, Brian, first of all, I want these young women to know that the opportunities are available. And it's really important as a young woman and also a young professional to pay attention to what you're passionate about and what excites you. For me, that was sports medicine and athletic training and physical therapy. And so when I discovered that, that really led me down the path of saying yes to any new opportunity that would give me more exposure and experience into that world.
What about you personally? Let's dig into that some, because I know when I was, this is funny, but when I was coming up in the industry or when I was, I guess I was in college, I got injured playing soccer and I blew out my knee. And then I went through lots of time of physical therapy. And that was my introduction to that world thinking this might be something I want to do. I didn't end up pursuing it, but it did spark that within me. What was it like for you? How did you hit that moment where you said to yourself, I want to go towards this direction of the industry?
Well, Brian, it's funny. A lot of people actually have that experience of a personal experience that has led them into the career path, specifically in sports medicine. However, for me, luckily, I knew since a young age. So since high school, I knew that I wanted to pursue athletic training. And then later on, that led me down the path to physical therapy school. So I was really fortunate to have several great mentors along the way. And in high school, I took a class called Sports Therapy and Fitness, which was a regional occupational program. And that exposed me to working with our athletic trainer at my high school and learning about anatomy and sports injuries and the basic first aid and care for these injuries. And so working with that athletic trainer and then also volunteering at the local physical therapy clinic that he was affiliated with, it really just piqued my interest. And from there, I decided that that's what I wanted to pursue in college. So for me, I was really fortunate in that it was actually a classroom experience. I had been an athlete growing up. I actually played volleyball, basketball, and softball. So funny enough, not soccer, but had been interested in sports and participated in sports my entire life. And so for me, I knew that my skill level was not at the height that it would need to play any of those in college in a meaningful way. But I loved helping others and I was interested in the medical profession. And so this avenue seemed like a perfect blend of two things that I was really interested in and excited about. So that took me into pursuing a degree in undergrad for athletic training, and later on went on to physical therapy school with the intent of working in the sports industry and sports field.
That's crazy that I didn't realize it had that kind of specialization in high school, that you got introduced to the opportunity in high school. That seems, I mean, that's very interesting that they have that level of, you know, just outside of your basic, you know, science, math, English type classes, that they had something as specific as athletic training. That's a great opportunity.
Yeah, it was an extracurricular class. It wasn't a requirement of my education, but essentially it was an elective. So that was a really neat thing. And from there, I realized I enjoyed it so much. And when you are, you know, enjoying what you're doing, it's easy to spend time. So that would mean volunteering at the local clinic before school for their injury clinic. It would also mean, you know, working Friday night football games and just getting as much time in the field as I could.
So that's great.
So I'm really fortunate for that.
Yeah. Not long after you finished getting your doctorate in physical therapy at USC, you became the head athletic trainer for the San Diego Sea Lions of the Women's Premier Soccer League. And you were also, you know, double duty working in physical therapy as well. What was this first experience like for you working with a professional team?
So it was a really great experience. It was one that I actually, I want to say I lucked into a little bit. Our general manager of that team had actually broken her leg playing soccer and was in our clinic, and they needed an athletic trainer for that season. And this was something that started out as a very part-time temporary opportunity doing game coverage. But I said, hey, I would love to be involved and I'd love to help out. And the change from that first season with the San Diego Sea Lions through, I think I was there nine or almost 10 years with the team, we grew that opportunity from just being there providing game coverage to really increasing the role and responsibility of traveling with the team, being available in the off season and during the week to provide injury care to the athletes. During that same time, I was also working locally at an outpatient orthopedic clinic. And so if our athletes needed something, they were able to come in and see me and work with me. So it was neat to see the opportunity grow because they recognized the value and the impact that having a skilled medical provider with the team could provide.
I'll be completely transparent here. I'm not as familiar with the scope and roles in athletic training and physical therapy. I mean, I obviously know what the roles are, but I don't know how competitive are these roles. Is it really hard to find to latch on with a professional team? Is there a process where you start out more, maybe more on the college side? Like, what do the opportunities look like for somebody that's considering this type of a position and is kind of looking for a kind of almost career path, like a plan? Like, how do they go about breaking into the athletic training world?
Sure. So I would say that the very first step is to be an athletic trainer. You have to graduate from an accredited athletic training program. And that is currently a bachelor's of science in athletic training from a four-year university. Actually, that is transitioning by 2022. I believe that all athletic training programs will require to be at the master's level. Oh. So there is a very significant base level of education that is required for someone to become an athletic trainer. And interestingly enough, my previous role before joining U.S. Soccer was I was the director of athletic training at San Diego State University. So I worked with the students that were interested in pursuing this career path. For physical therapy, the degree requirement is a doctoral degree. And so that is post undergrad coursework that someone would pursue. Okay. Now, as it relates to becoming involved with specific teams and working at the professional level, it is a growth process. A lot of times these opportunities start with your clinical rotations that you would pursue in school as part of your education, and really networking and developing those opportunities and building relationships with the different people you come into contact with. So not only is it fulfilling the requirements of your educational degree, but as an individual, really building that rapport and building relationships and learning from the people that are teaching you and kind of mentoring you along the way. So that's really one of the key things, because you never know what opportunities are going to come from that. As it relates to professional sports, a lot of those opportunities might start in a volunteer or in an internship capacity. And really, it's about working your way up. I review a lot of applications in my current role here at U.S. Soccer, and looking at people that are very hungry and driven, but also maybe have just graduated, and they are young and hungry and have all this desire to work at the highest level. But really, it's about exposing themselves to opportunities along the way and building their experience, building their clinical skills, their critical thinking, so that they are ready not only for the demands technically in the environment, but also maturity and the interpersonal skills related to handle potentially a very challenging and a very demanding environment.
That was a fantastic, like, seriously, that was one of the best answers ever. You were so clear and concise in like exactly what it takes. Like, I, if I'm like somebody listening right now, I'm like, oh my gosh, you just gave me the entire blueprint. This is fantastic. That was great. You're a pro at this. So tell me this. This is something I've always been curious about. When I first got into the sports media, I found that I watched sports differently because I knew I was covering the event or I was going to have to do something with it afterwards. I almost looked at the game differently. I took notes differently. I understood what was happening differently. And it changed for me going from fan to a member of the media. What's it like being on your side of the world as a trainer? What's game day like for you, or what are events like for you? Because I imagine, I mean, you were on the Sea Lions for over 8 years. Last two was U.S. Soccer Federation. You've been on the sidelines, I'm sure, for games of all different levels, of all the different statuses. What's that like for you watching? Do you see it differently now? Are you watching for collisions? Like, what happens for you?
Oh my gosh. Well, so first of all, when you're working, you're working. So yes, while I definitely enjoy, you know, I enjoy the team's success and enjoy their triumphs and feel sad when, you know, they're not. When I'm on the sidelines, you're in go mode. So it's when working as an athletic trainer, it's really being prepared prior to the event, having things in place like your emergency action plan. If the worst case scenario were to happen, how are you going to handle it, and being prepared for that in advance. So when I'm on the field and I'm watching the game, I'm definitely not watching as a fan or a spectator. It is watching the flow, the speed of the game, looking at potential either collisions or instances that could have contributed to an injury or even something that someone might report later on. And so just being mindful of that. So while, yes, there is the enjoyment of the game and being caught up in that, really when you're on the sideline, you're really just keeping an eye on everybody's health and wellness and care.
Yeah, I would think, especially with the heightened influence of or impact of head injuries and collisions and such, that you have to be constantly watching the players to see how they're reacting out there, right? So after something, a collision happens, or say maybe even something that didn't seem like much, you're still having to watch the players to see if something's changed within them, you know? Because I know as an athlete and working with athletes that they don't want to come out on their own, you know? They don't want to sit down. They don't want to come out of the game. So you almost have to be that eyes, those different eyes. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that, so in my current role, I'm less on the sidelines in that capacity, but I still serve as a medical observer for different events. And same thing, I will be watching the game from an elevated position of the field and communicating with our medical staff about if someone either sustained a tackle that looked problematic, or if perhaps the game has continued on and I see someone limping, or if there was a particular contact that looked like that person could have been susceptible to a head injury. So yes, all of those things definitely get communicated and are being watched throughout the game from a variety of angles. Whether you're directly on the field or whether you're in a position of medical observer, yes, that's critical to our athletes' health and safety.
You talked earlier about the progression for people in their career in athletic training and physical therapy and how it kind of builds upon itself through the clinical experience and et cetera. But how important is something like networking? Because if you ask me, if I look at your resume and I see that you went from the Women's Professional Soccer League to then the U.S. Soccer Federation, I'm seeing that transition and thinking, I'm sure you made some contacts in the industry, you got to know the right people, and that led to your next steps. How did that transition come about for you, and how important was it getting to know people?
So I will say that getting to know people and networking is crucial to your success in this field. It is a very small community, and everybody kind of knows each other. And that is true within the athletic training profession. That is true within the smaller kind of subsets of whatever particular sports that you might be have more longevity and history in working in. I actually had a pretty unique opportunity coming into this role. So as a senior manager of sports medicine, I oversee all of our medical staff at US Soccer. So really that encompasses our full-time and our part-time staff here at the Federation that work with our senior and our youth national teams. So when you're looking at the breadth of providers that we have that serve these environments, it's pretty extensive. So for me, part of what led me to this position is I actually replied to a job posting. And so while I did know people in the industry, and actually the head coach of the team that I had worked with in San Diego had recently taken a job with the Federation, that connection helped me after my initial interview. But really what got me my initial interview was the vision of the director of my department and the growth that the Federation was seeking as it relates to high performance. And so they were looking for an individual that had administrative experience, that had clinical experience, that had worked in soccer for an extended period of time, and that had a dual credential, both in athletic training and physical therapy. So for me, specifically, it was very interesting. I was in the right place at the right time. I had worked for many, many years building my clinical and administrative experience that when I saw this job posting, it sounded like it was written for me. And so my journey to US Soccer was a little bit unique in that I had not been working in the NWSL or the MLS or the USL prior to this. It was really a combination of the three roles that I had had previously that set me up for success in this position.
So you came to US Soccer in 2018. Your title is Senior Manager of Sports Medicine, and you've outlined it beautifully, what it is that you do and how you organize the department. I'm really curious too, though, as part of US Soccer Federation, you're overseeing many teams, and you're overseeing the process for many teams within the Federation. But the biggest and most high profile is the 2019 World Cup winning soccer women's team. What's that like when you are, you know, as fans, we see the games played and we see the results at the end. But when you're working with people across the entire Federation, and then anyone within there gets to the highest point of success, what is it like for an entire Federation to feel those moments?
Oh my gosh. Well, it was one, as you can imagine, very exciting. And yes, you are absolutely correct that many, many people and many departments within the Federation contributed significantly to that environment and the success of the team. And so obviously when you're involved in team sports, you have a passion and you're very excited to contribute to something bigger than yourself. So for us, it was a tremendous victory, and we're very happy to be a part of it.
So the high performance sport team that you're part of, this is a relatively new creation and started in 2018, and there's a couple different components of it. Can you explain a little bit more about this group, how you fit in, and why it's such a valued piece of the U.S. Soccer Federation?
Definitely. So early in 2017, the high performance department was an initiative under U.S. Soccer Sport Development umbrella. And we're focused on creating the best conditions in the areas of sports medicine, sports science, and performance analysis. So those three major technical areas encompass, as I've mentioned previously, sports medicine encompasses our physicians, athletic trainers, physical therapists, massage therapists, chiropractors, and other medical personnel and resources. The second being sports science and performance, and that entails functions such as our sports scientists, strength and conditioning coaches, nutritionists, sports psychologists. And then the last technical bucket is performance analysis. And so they look at the technical and tactical data using technology and working closely with our coaches to optimize the team's in-game performance, opposition analysis, things like that. So those three technical areas comprise the high performance department. And really, it's been trying to operate as a team instead of these different silos of areas of expertise. It's really those three subspecialties coming together to promote player health and safety and wellness so that we can train and compete at the highest level. And so really, we're just, our goal was to establish a cohesive group of professionals in our respective fields of expertise.
Yeah, so was that a pretty daunting challenge? I mean, creating think about that. You're creating like an all-star team in a way of the people under the sports medicine realm. And like you said, and that goes as far as the chiropractors and the massage therapists and the physical therapists and the sports medicine experts. I mean, all that, that's got to be a pretty daunting challenge.
Yes. And so our director of high performance was recruited specifically to accomplish that and surveyed the landscape at U.S. Soccer and basically identify that these three key areas would help us grow to be the preeminent sport in the United States. And so that's really what some of our goals are that we're trying to accomplish, our mission, so to speak. And so, yes, from a sports medicine perspective, it's been really great to be able to put full-time staff in these different environments with our senior teams and with our youth teams so that our athletes have access to quality and consistent care. So from a sports medicine perspective and really all of the different areas of this department, it's still relatively new and we're continuing to grow and evolve. But that's the exciting stuff, is being able to work together to accomplish some of these longer term visions that we have for the department and the federation.
In your view, and just your personal opinion, how much has the world of athletic training and player development changed over the last 10 years? Because from my perspective and just seeing what I see, it seems like there's so much more data and science and resources to help the athletes reach peak performance. Is that accurate? Has a lot changed over the last decade or so?
I would say that that's absolutely true. I think from the data and science perspective, we're able to do a lot more sophisticated monitoring of our athletes as it relates to whether it be subjective screenings based on wellness, looking at our GPS data, looking at player training loads that helps guide training programs, guides recovery plans. So in terms of being able to make data look, have objective data to support our rationale and to support our decisions has been very helpful. And that's actually been something that's been exciting for me working at the Federation, is being able to work hand in hand with sports scientists to kind of see our players through that lens, and being able to work with them to collaborate on making medical decisions as it might relate to returning to play, if someone, and progressing someone's training loads from they've been cleared medically, they've passed the return to play testing. Now we're working on getting them involved on the field and progressing their day-to-day training and practice, and how much is someone going to participate, what activities, what drills are they going to do. And so really it's nice to have so many experts in that area to be able to come together and come up with a conclusion that's going to be in the athlete's best interest. So that's been neat to see.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. And just knowing like where we're headed, like I have no idea where we're headed. I mean, you probably know better than I do, but it just seems like we've made so many advancements that, and there's still so much untapped into the, you know, the human body and just peak performance, that it's got to be pretty exciting. Do you have anything that you see coming down the line that could just be an exciting thing that you're kind of looking forward to in your world of sports medicine?
Oh, gosh. I think that really one of the things that I'm most excited about is that we're going to continue to integrate this multidisciplinary approach. And as I mentioned, that there's less siloing of these roles and responsibilities, and that truly it really is a sports medicine team that comes together to support the athletes. Like I said, the science and technology, the data science specifically behind athlete monitoring is something that's new and interesting to me. And I'm interested to see how that's going to influence our medical decision making in the future.
That's really cool. So if somebody listening right now is thinking to themselves, you know what, I would love to be an athletic trainer in college, or I'd love to be in physical therapy, or whatever it may be, that maybe they're inspired by this conversation, what's the main piece of advice you'd give them? What's the thing that will help set them up for success as they progress towards their future?
Sure. I would say if that's something they're interested in, is two websites that they could visit is the National Athletic Trainers Association, so NATA.org, or the American Physical Therapy Association, APTA.org. And I think that gives a really good baseline into what those different fields are. Now, understanding sports medicine encompasses many more opportunities than just those two professions, and I've mentioned some of them on this conversation today, but related to the fields that I specifically learned about, those would be great resources and great places to start. And that's just to be an educated individual on what those different professions are. And then I would say, if you think one of those piques your interest, I would recommend as a young student trying to volunteer and gain exposure to those different industries. And you might find that one of those really piques your interest. You might also find that there might be another provider that you meet through those experiences, whether it be a physician assistant, a chiropractor, a nurse, anything that that you might be interested in looking into that as well. So very early on, initial opportunities, I would say get a base level of understanding and then check out the environment and see if it's something that you really like and if it is something that you think you'd be passionate about.
This has been great. Thank you so much for coming on and teaching more about this world, because I, for one, have been someone that, you know, has watched from afar and was familiar with the rules on a very superficial level. So to get this kind of insight and to know the path and the process and all that goes into getting the athletes to peak performance is really interesting. So thank you so much for coming on the show, Leah.
Brian, you're welcome. It was my pleasure.
Thank you so much to Dr. Thoman. I can't stress this enough. The opportunities in sports are so vast. You can really do anything from sales to training to broadcast media to physical therapy. Dr. Thoman really embodies the opportunities for everybody. And while we highlight U.S. soccer's push to get more women involved in STEM, it's important for all of you to realize the potential is out there for you to find what you love doing and do it. Thanks for listening, everyone. Wherever you listen, please give us a great review. It helps us grow. And it would be great if you subscribe. I know, I'm needy. I want more of you to listen. It's a personality flaw. Thanks for listening, everybody. Time to get back to work.